I used to believe that the main thing I had to offer to life, to the world, to people, to you, was my gifts. But I now live in a world where people seem to receive more from my wounds than they do from my gifts. It's a good thing to have gifts and strengths, and I and all of us rejoice in them. But somehow we meet in a deeper place when we meet in a valley that involves suffering. That's the fellowship of the withered hand. That's a deep way that transformation comes. That's what we are learning about in these days. But then I have to go through pain and not knowing. And especially that involves my relationship with God. And we see this with Job. Most of the book of Job is just outcries from him and then bewildered, confused defenses of God by his friends who end up, according to God, being wrong, even though the theology looks quite right. And when you go through pain, difficulty, suffering, very often what we see in Job is completely contradictory thoughts about God. And so towards the end of the book, he talks about God being the one who has committed injustices against them. How can you let these things happen? And yet the only hope that he can cling to for justice, though he slay me, I will trust him. Here's what he says in chapter 23. If only I knew where to find him, that is God, I would come to his tribunal. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Would he use great force to contend with me? No, surely he would heed me. There the upright could reason with him, and I would finally be acquitted of my suit. Ellen Davis writes about the tension in Job's thoughts now, and we're all this way. And there's no way to grow with God except going through this questioning and struggle. The divine judge from whom God expects acquittal is, of course, the same God whom he accuses of injustice. With a passion for justice instilled by God, he turns the prophetic demand for vindication of the righteous against God. Here's the acute paradox that lies at the heart of this book, and also the reason that the church is afraid of it. Job rails against God, not as a skeptic, not as a stranger to God's justice, but precisely as a believer. It is the very depth of Job's commitment to God's ethical vision that makes his rage so fierce, and that will finally compel an answer from God. We are not accustomed to blaming God, and so when we find ourselves doing so, we feel guilty and religiously confused. The solution for some is to cover over our confusion about God with a false piety. Others, bolder perhaps, will give up on God altogether. Now, that was Mrs. Job in the book, just curse God and die. The ancient church father, John Chrysostom, said that maybe the heaviest burden on Job was that Mrs. Job was not taken. But the witness of the book of Job is that rage and even blame directed at God are valid moments in the life of faith. And the very fact that Job's outcry against God goes on throughout almost the entire book tells us that moment may last quite a while. What's happening? Faith often can only grow if we're willing to bring our questions and our confusion before God in raw honesty. Now, this actually ties very deeply to something written about by Stephen Joseph. He is an expert researcher and practitioner in the field of trauma. It's a biblical word, as we will see. And he talks about what he calls the theory of the shattered vase. This is on his book, What Does Not Kill Me. Imagine that a cherished vase sits on a table in your home. Perhaps it was a gift from a beloved relative or friend. I have just such a vase in mind. When I was very, very small, my father got for my mother a really, really nice vase for kind of what their financial condition was in those early days. And he was so excited about it, he told my sister and I, we were tiny. But he said, now this is a secret, you cannot tell your mother. But I was so excited, I said to my mom, I can't tell you what you're getting for Christmas because it's a secret, but it's a vase. Cherished vase. One day you accidentally knock it off its perch. Luckily, there's only a little damage. It's easy to quickly glue the few broken pieces back into place. It looks like it did before. For some people, traumatic events are like this. Such events may dent or even break some of their core assumption, but not to the extent that their overall worldview changes. Relatively easy for them to assimilate the experience. But imagine that the vase smashes into 1,000 tiny shards. That's Job. Devastated, you rush to collect the fragments, how to put them back together. In the disorganized confusion, the vase seems beyond repair. Nevertheless, some people will try to put it back together exactly as it was before it fell to the ground. If they're lucky, the vase may look as it used to. Closer examination will reveal the truth, however. It is held together by nothing more than glue and sticky tape. The cracks are still visible. The slightest jolt could send the vase back into pieces once again. And I remember when it felt like my world was shattered, thinking at first, I just want to get past this. I just want to go back to the way that things were. I just want to go back to the old vase. And then realizing, for me, it came in one day in one conversation. I will never go back to that old vase. That one's gone. Some people will take up the pieces and build something new. They are sad that their prized vase is broken, but accept that it can never return to its old form. The question now becomes, what to make of it next? Perhaps they can use the different colored pieces to assemble a mosaic, finding a new and useful form to preserve their memories. This is the essence of what in the psychological field is called accommodation, where I have to reconfigure my inner world to accommodate this new reality. And this is what trauma brings us to. It's very interesting. Trauma is a Bible word. In Jesus' story about the Good Samaritan and the man beaten up on the road, the Good Samaritan binds up his traumata, his wounds. He has been traumatized. And the truth is, everybody has been beaten up by this world, by death, if nothing else, by sin. We're sometimes tempted to think, oh, there's lucky people out there. I just compare myself to them. I compare my insides, the pain I go through, with their outsides, the way they present themselves to the world. Therapist Lori Gottlieb's written this wonderful book, Maybe You Should See Someone. And she says, if you ever want to see the universality of human brokenness, become a therapist and Google your clients. Because their life on social media and their life in the counseling room are real different. There's a wonderful scene in a movie I mentioned a while ago, As Good As It Gets. Three main characters, all traumatized. Greg Kinnear was rejected by his family because he's gay, got beaten up, handsome face, scarred, financially desperate. And then Helen Hunt, she works as a waitress, minimum wage job, has a child she loves dearly, but is going crazy because he's got big health problems and they cannot be diagnosed or treated. And then Jack Nicholson, this train wreck of a human being, misogynist, misanthrope, obsessive compulsive, neurotic, spiteful. Greg Kinnear is talking about the pain of an abusive father, and Helen Hunt says to him, we all have these terrible stories that we just have to get through. And Jack Nicholson says, no, some people have great stories, lovely stories, that take place on lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. Just no one in this car. But for some people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad. But I have yet to see good times noodle salad on any tombstone summing up a life. Part of what the Bible says is that we live in a fallen and broken world, and that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have all been traumatized more than anything else by the sin that is inside of us. And so the shame and the brokenness and the pain that we feel isn't just from the world around us. It is from what is wrong inside me. And the Bible says that Jesus has done this remarkable thing, that he took on our trauma. Isaiah 53 in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of that says, for he was wounded, and they use the verbal form of trauma. He was traumatized for our transgressions. He went through trauma for us so that we could be delivered and freed. and incorporate the broken shards of our life into something new. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? God says. So today, how do you not deny, not pretend, not tape and glue? How do you take your hurts? They might look pretty small, but in moments, conversations of vulnerability, transparency, honesty. I was talking to somebody last night, kind of a new friend at a long dinner, and we talked for about an hour, and then he just asked me about my story, my journey, and in talking about that, our conversation and new relationship reached a level that it never would have been if I'd have just talked to him about, here's my gifts, let me tell you what cool thing I did yesterday. So today, what are the broken places? What are the wounds? What new thing is God doing in your life? Don't be in denial. Talk to God. If you're in a place of great confusion, great anger, be real honest with God about that. There's no way to the other side. We'll see a little bit more about where Job gets, but you gotta go through that. Today, how do you do that with honesty and at the same time trust? He is still my Redeemer. I will not let him go. Who today, out of your woundedness, out of your own hurt and pain, can you speak, mourn with them, notice them, talk with them in your own weakness and humility in ways that will connect you together with them? In that movie, As Good As It Gets, that very unlikely trio becomes a little outpost of the Fellowship of the Withered Hand. And it is their shared pain with each other that introduces them into a community of love and healing. It is always so. It is ever so. Stretch out your hand.
Hey, thanks for joining us. My name's Tim, and I'm a part of the team here at Become New. Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any future episodes from John. You can also head to our website where we have hundreds more videos just like this one that you can browse and find something that's relevant to you and your life right now. You could also sign up there to receive the emails that go with each video or to get the daily text reminder or to browse our blog or other resources that we have there. I want to let you know that John is coming out with a new book titled Steps this February. The book's actually based on the series Ashes to Beauty that we did a few years ago, and we're really excited about it. You could go to Amazon right now and pre-order that book if you want, or check out all the details at our website, becomenew.com. If you've got a prayer request, there's a team of us that meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for viewers just like yourself. So be sure to text us that request at 855-888-0444, or you can email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. We're glad that you're here. We'll see you next time.